much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, Justin, what's up?
Not much, Jimmy. Hashtag chillin'. What's up with you?
I'm busy working. Hashtag rise and grind. Hashtag is it Friday yet?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Rap the new rock and roll. We the real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all of them.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
When someone comes up and says something like, I am a god, everybody says, who does he think he is? I just told you who I thought I was. A god. I just told you. That's who I think I am. You got some people that's trying to, like, make their way. It's like with the, let's say, 5%, 10%, 85%. And it's like this, the 10% is the media, for the most part. The 85% don't really know what it is. And the 5% that know what it is can't get it past the 10%.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
We sang Pyrex. We sang Ben Trill. We sang Snapbacks. We sang Yeezus. But we want to sing Nike. We want that clean water. I taste it and I see what it's like. We want to sing Louis Vuitton. We want to sing on a Gucci level. We want to sing as high as we can sing when we have pyramids.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't know. Like, what is that?
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
That might prove embarrassing for both
this
of us.
Seems to be about to quit.
Hi, am I in the air?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Thank God it's Friday.
Roll another one.
Hey, it's Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Just like the other one.
Kevin, what are you doing?
This one seems to be about to end.
That just should not happen, Kevin.
I don't have another cent.
Last time I was in Vegas, I woke up with tissue in my pants and my nose was bleeding.
Some people are just
playing crazy. Just passing around.
I'm embarrassed for this generation.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What kind of radio show is this?
Just passing on down.
And now.
Oh my God, I have blood on me.
Our feature presentation.
Dodgers!
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, the 4th of October.
You probably didn't watch that Dodgers game, but it was so much fun last night, Kevin. So much fun.
I heard they dominated, though.
They dominated. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because Atlanta, correct me if I'm wrong, Beer Mug, but it just seemed like they just never came out of the gate.
Well, the first inning, their pitcher with the chains up striking out 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little nervous then, but right when Kershaw came out on the hill,
uh-huh.
Atlanta went home.
And then he struck them out 1, 2, 3 in the bottom of the first.
How did
as well.
He do that if they went home?
Well,
I don't understand.
Metaphorically.
Oh. By the way, Andrew Siciliano told us earlier this week that look how many empty seats there are going to be in the stands in Atlanta. And sure enough, there were. It was crazy
really?
How poorly attended this playoff game was. And they started just pouring out of there in droves, like by the sixth or seventh inning. That place was deserted.
That's shocking to me when it gets to playoff time in any sport.
Me too.
That's
you're
crazy.
So lucky if your team makes it to
right.
the playoffs. No matter how good you are, you don't always make it to the playoffs. So you'd think that that would be when you'd really want to give your team some support. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Kershaw struck out 12, and it was just great. And Puig was amazing. I mean, Puig just drives people crazy out there the way he runs the bases and throws, and he's just incredible.
Did he throw somebody out at first?
Yes, he sure
That's
did.
That's crazy.
He sure did. Yeah, he's amazing. This is fun. This is a very special team. Speaking of special, I have brought you hundreds of arrests over the years.
Yes.
This may be the craziest one yet.
All right. Florida?
Massachusetts.
Wow.
Three people remain in custody after being arrested Saturday morning following a traffic stop in Canton, Massachusetts, which was described as the police officer, Lieutenant Paul Sullivan, as the most bizarre traffic stop he has seen in his 23 years on the force. They received a call that there was a disabled vehicle traveling on Route 95. This is a vehicle, by the way. Well, I'll let the police officer tell you. We spotted the green Hyundai Elantra traveling at approximately 5 miles per hour in the passing lane.
You might as well be parked.
With a huge shower of sparks coming from the rear of the vehicle. As we got closer, we noticed that the rear end of the vehicle was dragging on the ground due to the fact that there were no rear tires or axle on the vehicle.
Wow.
This isn't a guy driving on his rims. This is a guy driving with no axle and no rear tires.
So basically just the bottom of his car is dragging.
Yes.
That's
cool. After the vehicle was pulled over, we approached it and found that the driver was not only drinking a can of beer while driving, but that he was not wearing pants.
Give him the breathalyzer!
And he had urinated on himself.
Oh, good times.
The man, Francis Fasher, by the way, a former model, but now well-known transvestite who has been numerous times arrested for prostitution in the area, was placed under arrest after not one, but two foot chases. Now, you may be wondering, Kevin, what happened?
Why do? Yeah. How did he get away from the first time?
I don't know. It doesn't say. You may be wondering, what happened to the back of his car? Where were his rear wheels would be a reasonable question at this point. The police report continues. There were also two female passengers in the back seat.
Oh.
One of the females was asleep, partially clad. The other was extremely hysterical. At the time, we believe she might have been under the influence of PCP due to the fact that she claimed there were mice biting at her and climbing on her.
Now, this is a good traffic stop.
Yes. This is why you joined the police force, is for days like this. Oh, we're not anywhere near done.
What?
Because of the size of the two women, police were unable to pull the women out of the rear doors of the vehicle. Members of the Canton Rescue Squad were called to cut the roof off the vehicle with the help of a crane supplied by Shaughnessy Crane. The women were lifted out of the car.
Wait, how did they get in the car?
Police estimate the weight of each woman was between 300 and 450 pounds.
Wow.
I think that might have had something to do with it was easier to get in the back of the car when the car was level because it had rear wheels. But now maybe because of the angle or something, they couldn't get out of the car.
Wow.
Shortly after being extracted from the vehicle, the two women began arguing with each other and blows were thrown.
Oh, my God.
At one point, police arrested 17-year-old Tina Pebbles Zanfrelli of Foxborough and 56-year-old Donna Dyers of Lynn. There's a 17-year-old and a 56-year-old in the back of this car. We followed the drag marks and found the axle and tires had separated from the vehicle about 4 miles back. The axle, wheels, and tires were found in the parking lot of the Ancient Lounge located in Foxborough. At this time, we believe the three individuals had patronized the bar for the better part of the day, and at closing time, they decided to move the party to Mr. Fasher's apartment. Upon entering the vehicle, the combined weight of the occupants is what's believed to have caused the axle and wheels to separate from the vehicle. It's unbelievable that an individual could or would drive over 4 miles with no rear tires on the tire. All right, we're getting near the end here. Home stretch. During the search of the vehicle, police came up with an unexpected find. The interior of the vehicle was very messy. There were beer cans, food wrappers, rib bones, and other rubbish in the car. Sound familiar?
Rib bones.
Your car. Under the driver's seat, we found a nest of mice. I guess she did see a mouse.
What? She was right.
Remember earlier we thought she might be on PCP?
Crazy woman was mice.
In case you're wondering what Mr. Fasher – exactly. In case you're wondering what Mr. Fasher was arrested with, he was arrested for and charged with driving while intoxicated, indecent exposure, urinating in public, disturbing the peace, failure to stay in a marked lane, destruction of public property, assaulting a police officer, driving an unregistered motor vehicle, driving an uninsured motor vehicle, non-payment of child support, public intoxication, evading police, passengers not wearing seatbelts, and my favorite, transporting lab animals without proper permits.
What is that, like 16 different tickets?
Plus contributed to the delinquency of a minor because of the 17-year-old from the bar. So, I don't know. I know we still have a couple of months to go here in 2013, but that could be the citizen of the day for 2013. That
USA!
Is right?
USA! USA!
That's awesome.
That is a phenomenal arrest. That's a story that the police officer will never tire of telling that story. Long after he's off the force, he's going to say, let me tell you guys about one night.
On his deathbed, he's going to say,
you guys remember that night?
Wow.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, there it is.
Cousin Sal will be on the program talking about his NFL picks.
Fantastic.
We have Allison and Ashley in the studio. They're contestants on The Amazing Race and happen to be LA Kings Ice Girls.
I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with why we're having them in, though. We just want to support The Amazing Race,
It's The Amazing Race, right.
And we could have just as easily had the guys in who do the transvestite bingo show. We could have just as easily asked for them.
They have some crazy people as contestants.
Yes, they do.
And we need to have a talk with these girls today about, well, I guess they already shot it, but, man, if they don't beat Duck Dynasty twins, if they don't beat them, for God's sakes, they're in trouble. This season is just a freak show, and I love it. We also have You Stopped Crime. You stop somebody from robbing a store or whatever it happens to be. There was a story in England. A guy stopped a robbery with his shoe.
Every once in a while you hear about it's a little old lady who someone tries to mug, and she just wails on him with her purse and he runs away. You know, something like that. I mean, it's always a tough call whether you should fight back or not in a situation like that. Sometimes people do it. It works out, though.
Landon Donovan will be on the program today from the LA Galaxy. And the movie beat, because it's Friday, and the guys think it's funny that I am convinced that if Andrew Siciliano ever has to take a day off from the Red Zone channel, that I would be a good fill-in. So we're going to talk about that.
I mean, I thought it was very generous of you to offer be that guy.
Thank
you. But I think it's a tough job, dude. I think Andrew Siciliano was one of a kind to be able to do that as smoothly as he does.
I wouldn't do it exactly like he does it. I would put my own spin on it.
I know, but people want to know what's going on with the games.
Why do you suggest that I wouldn't give them that?
All right. Well, we'll find out. We'll see how that's going to go for you then.
All right. We'll start the show with the showbiz beat when we get back on the Kevin. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Yep. Heading into the weekend, we are loading up on passes for Not Scary Farm. Front of the line for all 12 bases. We've got three separate chances for you to win those this morning during the Kevin and Bean Show. You can get the details at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph Garman with the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Blah. Scary times.
Not Scary Farm?
Not Scary Farm.
Kind of scary vampires there.
Nope.
Come on. Do the right thing. Here is something.
All right. You didn't overpromise. I like that.
This Miley Cyrus Sinead O'Connor feud is just...
Oh, I didn't know they were feuding.
Nuts.
It's weird.
Is he still alive?
Why is Miley a dick?
Miley is a grade A snatch. That's what she is.
Can we say that?
Yeah, I just did.
Okay.
She is a see you next Tuesday, and it is repugnant, her behavior.
What's going on?
So many
levels. I don't know anything about this.
Here's the thing. Miley Cyrus getting a lot of attention for this video she did, Wrecking Ball, where a lot of it is her just close up into the camera, crying and reacting to the lyrics of the song. Okay?
Right.
And then the rest of it is her licking the head of a sledgehammer and grinding on the chain of a wrecking ball nude while she's humping the wrecking ball. And so a lot of people have gone to Sinead O'Connor and said, you know, the facial, close-up face part of the video reminds us a lot of Nothing Compares to You, the legendary video that sort of broke Sinead O'Connor into our public consciousness with this amazing video performance. Just one static shot on Sinead O'Connor singing this amazingly powerful song.
Right. And the very close-cropped hair and the big eyes. Yeah, very similar appearance.
So Sinead O'Connor responds to everyone talking about by doing an open letter to Miley Cyrus saying a lot of things. It's a long piece, but it's really well written, and she's obviously coming from a place of great sincerity and a sort of, hey, you know what? I've been where you are. I was the hot girl for the moment, and I've made mistakes, and here's just some advice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because she had pitfalls, and then she ended up getting into depression and drugs and lots of things, and she feels that, she got chewed up by the machinery. She's trying to reach out to somebody and help them before it happens to them.
I'm happy to hear that I'm somewhat of a role model for you, and I hope that you will pay close attention to what I'm telling you. And she basically goes on to say, especially about the getting naked and the sexual parts and everything, that she warns her that there's guys in the music industry, first of all, they don't give an S about you.
Right.
And they are making a ton of money off of you getting naked and sexualizing yourself. And that's really not where you need to go. She said, you're a good enough artist, you're doing good enough music, that should be enough. You don't have to pimp yourself out, basically. She said there are guys who will be sunning themselves on the yachts in Antigua that they bought by selling your body, and you will find yourself very alone. She's warning her down the stretch, right? I mean, she goes on. It's really a beautifully well-written letter. Miley responds with a 5-word tweet. Before Amanda Bynes, there was dot, dot, dot. And then she lists a series of tweets that Sinead O'Connor made when she was dealing with mental illness. She actually had a breakdown into mental illness, and she was tweeting crazy stuff.
I didn't know that.
She's well now. She's on meds. She's had treatment. And Sinead O'Connor came back and said, are you effing kidding me? I pour out my heart to you in this letter, and you mock mental illness by taking a shot at me and this poor girl Amanda Bynes, who's currently being hospitalized for schizophrenia and bipolar disorder?
Wow.
What the F is wrong with you, basically, is what she came back with. And she said, first of all, those tweets are 2 years old. You're trying to misrepresent me by putting them out there like it's now. My lawyers are going to be contacting you to get you to take those down. And I'm trying to reach out to you and do something nice, and this is how you respond? She said, first of all, if you think they had problems before, taking me on is another problem, she said, which I thought was great. Then Miley responds to that letter by saying in a tweet, I can't write an open letter to you right now because I'm busy getting ready to host and perform on Saturday Night Live.
Wow. Wow. She's something.
She is.
She's working toward Bieberland.
Then, as if to fulfill the prophecy of Sinead O'Connor, yesterday were released a series of 14 explicit photographs by photographer Terry Richardson. You know who Terry Richardson is?
Yes.
He is the guy, the only guy who out-creepies Bean. This guy shoots photographs that makes every girl look like she was a runaway he picked up at a bus station. And he throws her up against a blank wall and films her semi-nude.
And he does good work.
He does good work.
It's creepy work. It's
he
not
got
good
Kate
work
up to do the Cat Daddy. Remember that was Terry Richardson.
It's stark creepy. It's like pedophilia, and he's got Miley Cyrus to show her cans for the first time in a photograph, and she's got her tongue out and she's jamming her G-string where it doesn't
belong.
Hold on.
Did you say she had her tongue out?
Yeah. It's as if it was predicted by Sinead O'Connor. She's like pimping herself out in these pictures. And it was just, it's just a remarkable series of events.
I love it.
That this Ozark mutant couldn't get out of her own way enough to say, you know what, this woman has been through something. It may not be my situation, but she had an enormous amount of success and then lost it in a spectacular fashion. Maybe there's something in this for me to learn from. Maybe I can pick something, if some information up from this.
And if she doesn't want to do that, she could at least say, you know, thanks for thinking of
me. Or ignore it.
Right.
Completely.
I can't write an open letter to you because I'm going to be a sign of law.
I cartoon. Like you so much better when you're naked.
Cartoon death.
By the way, I saw the Ozark Mutants at the troop last night. And great.
I want Miley Cyrus to be naked and have an actual wrecking ball fall on her and squash her flat like Wile E. Coyote.
On a piano?
On a piano. That would be hilarious. Unbelievable. Hey, tonight's the night. Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. Love to have you come out. It's 10 p.m. this evening. You can go to improv.com. to get your tickets for tonight's show. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays. Susan Sarandon, 67 years old today. Christoph Waltz is 57 years old. Liev Schreiber, are you watching the Ray Donovan, people? Don't be fools.
Watch it.
Oh, one of the best shows on TV.
I missed it.
It's outstanding. Oh, fool. Maybe you can clean out some of those 50 things on your DVR and make room for a good TV show. And drop a backwaters cow goat fishing or whatever it is you got going on there.
If that show's on, I need to watch it.
M. Ward of She and Him. He is 40 years old today. Alicia Silverstone's 37. Rachel Lee Cook is 34. And Dakota Johnson. Soon you'll see her in handcuffs in 50 Shades of Grey. 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin's number one boyfriend, Landon Donovan from the Los Angeles Galaxy, joins us a little after 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Beach. We've got a couple of contestants from The Amazing Race stopping by, and Cousin Sal talks all things NFL Week 5. That's all on the way here on a Friday morning Kevin Beach show. First, though, how about the movie beat?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who really risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
What an eclectic bunch of movies coming out this weekend. Really interesting, very different films in the Cineplexes. Something for everybody, as they say. Maybe there's something for you. Let's check it out. Starting in limited release this weekend, the only movie Kevin cares about, Bad Milo. Yes, it's the story of a guy who has a demon living in his ass.
Are you sure it wasn't just bad tacos?
No. He thinks he has unusual stomach problems, but it turns out he has a demon living in his ass. And the demon, who he names Milo, comes out and kills people when they make him upset. He gets so he internalizes his anger and frustration so much that it starts to create a demon inside him that comes out and murders the people who offend him.
My butt hurt.
That's why I was letting my anger out, people, because you do not want Milo coming out of your butt killing people.
You really don't. That's not ideal.
This is Dame Judy Dench?
No, Ken Marino stars.
Oh, awesome.
Who's hilarious. Jillian Jacobs. Of course, you know her from Community. And Patrick Warburton also star in this horror comedy about, once again, a demon who comes out of his butt. He lives in his intestines, comes out of his butt, and kills people.
I guarantee I'm going to that one by myself.
I guarantee there's nobody in the world. Will. And you'll be laughing like Max Cady from Cape Fear with a cigar in the front rug.
I'll be the only one in the theater.
It'll be Robert De Niro in Cape Fear. Here are some clips from the trailer of Bad Milo.
You got a thing in your butt.
What?
This creature comes out and attacks that someone. This thing is a part of you.
What are you talking about?
It's a metaphor.
This is the furthest thing from a metaphor.
Oh, my God, what is it?
Wow. Stomach flu?
Yeah. What do we do?
Bond with it.
And if I do, it won't hurt anybody else.
Oh, please.
Milo?
Milo?
Yeah.
That could happen.
ACOD in limited release, another comedy coming out this weekend. ACOD stands for Adult Child of Divorce, about a seemingly well-adjusted guy who was forced to revisit the chaos of his parents' bitter divorce all over again and goes through madness with his family. Adam Scott stars in this film.
Love him.
Love him, too. Richard Jenkins, also a brilliant actor, stars in this. And Catherine O'Hara, who you know from all the Christopher Guest movies, SCTV, brilliant comic actress.
Does anyone have a demon in their butt?
No one has a demon in their butt, Kevin. It's about actual people going through actual problems all in right. a humorous way. Here are some clips from the trailer of ACOD.
You have both turned a 9-year marriage into a 100-year war.
Thank you for seeing me on such short notice.
So, what brings you here?
Well, my brother's getting married. What's it been, 3 or 4 months?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Whoa. Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
It's been like 4 months. My parents are, you know, being a nightmare.
Please tell me you are not your father's son.
If I ever see that woman, I'd kick her in the balls. I guess I'm just looking for someone to talk to.
But I am not a therapist.
But you are my therapist.
Oh, no, no, no. I saw you as part of a study of the effects of divorce on children.
Oh.
If I ever see that woman, I will kick her in the balls.
Was that Jane Lynch I heard at the end there?
Sounded
like her as the psychiatrist.
That's awesome.
Also opening up this weekend, Parkland. Finally, someone taking a serious investigative look at the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Finally, somebody is taking a look at that. How have we ignored that for all these years where no one really deals with that
issue?
That's
crazy. It is.
It stars Zac Efron and Colin Hanks and Billy Bob Thornton. Parkland is the recounting of the chaotic events that happened immediately after the assassination, the day John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And Parkland is the name of the hospital in Dallas where the president was rushed to in an attempt to save his life. In this scene from Parkland, Billy Bob Thornton plays a Secret Service investigator who is trying to obtain film from a certain Mr. Zapruder, who shot the film of the president being shot there on the grassy knoll, played by Paul Giamatti. Here's a scene from Parkland.
Sir, were you filming before the president was shot?
Yeah.
So you were standing on top of this, sir, is that right?
I mean, more than 30 yards away.
Sir, will you allow me to take that film into my possession? Right now, there are people out there that are ready to start a war. Now, the film in that camera is the only way we have to know what happened out here today. You understand that? It's a matter of national security.
I need to think.
Sir, I'm no longer asking.
If you're
I think I'm
that,
in, by the way.
If you're into that kind of stuff.
I am. Well, first of all, hasn't everything been said about that?
I think every angle of this day has been covered except for what was going on in the hospital at the time. What kind of craziness, because they didn't know whether it was a political assassination, someone had declared war on America.
Oh, I see.
I mean, if you're in the heat of the moment without the benefit of hindsight and you don't know what's happening, it would be like 9/11, really, when you think about it. The president is killed. No one really knows anything about what's happening. The emotional turmoil of everyone going through those moments just after the assassination, I think, could be pretty compelling drama, quite frankly.
And I love that Billy Bob. I love him in movies. And Paul Giamatti, too. So I think I'm in.
Speaking of Paul Giamatti, he's got another film coming out this weekend called All Is Bright in limited release. It's a comedy about two parolees, Paul Giamatti and Paul Rudd, who take jobs selling Christmas trees in order to try to go straight to varying degrees of success. Here is a clip from the trailer of All Is Bright.
Hey, Dennis. Finally escaped.
Paroled. So, what are these jobs?
Selling Christmas trees in New York City.
These are more than just Christmas trees. These are memories. Get over here and smell some memories.
Hey! Ho, ho, ho! Hey! Ah! Trees!
That's terrible.
Are you looking for a tree? We've got trees.
I've got eyes.
Yeah, they're an amazing color. What are they, purpley brown?
No.
Regular brown?
No.
Blue?
No way. Idiot.
Going straight is 10 times the work. But you know what else?
What?
You don't go to prison.
Who's that? Yeah. Paul Rudd and Paul Giamatti. What a great team. I'm looking forward to seeing All Is Bright. Runner Runner opens this weekend.
What's this?
It's about a college student who cracks an online poker game. And he is, it turns out that the guy who runs the game, an offshore entrepreneur, is running a crooked game. And he takes this guy in with the caveat that he has to kind of follow the rules. He'll make money as long as he cheats along with everyone else. And
right.
He starts to get a guilty conscience about it and starts to balk at what's been happening. The acting powerhouse of Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake star in this film. Timberlake is the college student. Ben Affleck is the hard-ass criminal who runs the crooked online poker game. Here are these two of them just acting their asses off. Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake.
How'd you know I'd even make it out of there alive? How did you know?
Richie, I mean, it's the gambling business in Costa Rica. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You let me walk right into it, Ivan?
This is your job. You understand? You want a clear conscience? Go start a charity. But if you want your own island, and your boss says you gotta go out there and take a beating, go out there, take it, come back to work, and say, do you need me to do it again?
There's your Batman.
Wow.
Hey, K-Rox Kevin?
Yeah.
Your girlfriend Gemma Arterton is in this movie.
Oh, I'm in.
I know you love her.
I'm in.
There's not enough Gemma Arterton in this film. She could be next to me doing the popcorn trick while I'm watching this movie, and they wouldn't get me in the theater. And lastly, Gravity. This is the big one for the weekend. This is the one that's going to take all the money, all the awards, you name it. A medical engineer and an astronaut have to work together to survive after an accident leaves them adrift in space. I can barely breathe watching the trailer to this movie. Just makes me gasp for air. I don't know if I'll be able to bear what goes on in Gravity or not. Sandra Bullock, George Clooney, Ed Harris. Great cast. Here's some clips from the trailer to Gravity.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double-cross for me.
It's been a while.
It has. Haven't missed it, really.
Beautiful, don't you think?
What?
The sunrise.
Houston, Dr. Stallone is off structure. Listen to my voice. You need to move. I'm losing visual of you.
I'm spinning. Can't breathe.
By all accounts, this is a terrifying, involving, just a paralyzing film. Go see it in the afternoon. Don't come out in the dark out of the theater after you see Gravity. I think you're really going to need some sunshine and a cocktail after you see this one. It seems a little intense. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
How dare you?
How dare you?
How?
How dare us
dare
what?
You, sir.
What?
How dare you?
Explain.
It's Kevin Amico on K-Rock, 20 till 7. We had Andrew Siciliano in.
Host of DirecTV's The Red Zone.
And what that job is basically is they go around. The red zone is considered the 20-yard line to the goal line, and every team that gets into the red zone, they show. So they're cutting from game to game. And we asked him the last time we had him in, you know, what's your backup plan? What if you get sick? Who's gonna juggle all that? And I said I'd be willing to do it. And I think I could really nail it.
Before we talk about what a terrible idea, what a comical, laughable idea that is, aren't you shocked that something as important to DirecTV as the red zone does not have a backup player? Don't you think they should have a guy who goes in there and does a mock run-through just so he's familiar with it? So in the event that Andrew Siciliano wakes up one day and he's, you know, he's got the poopies or something, they have somebody to put in there?
I'm saying, yes, of course that's ridiculous, but that's where I come
crazy.
In.
It's crazy. But why? Look, what makes you can barely keep one show straight. You're only doing this show and you're distracted. You can barely pay attention.
How dare you?
I mean,
this
what
is
makes
me
you think,
paying attention.
What makes you think you can handle the DirecTV red zone?
Because you just go from game to game. It's not difficult.
Right, but you've got a
hey,
guy
the Colts are in the red zone. Let's watch. That's
right.
It.
You have you're talking on national television while you have a guy in your head telling you which screens to go to, filling you in on facts, telling you who's hurt, where they are in the game. I mean, it's a million things to juggle.
All right, we're going
to
split the screens. We got two games for you now. If you want to watch the left one, it's on channel 713. Boom! Boom!
Yeah,
shakalaka.
It's easy to do when you're not on TV and you're not doing it for reels and you're not doing it with seven television screens all with different football games on it.
Listen to me. Hey, we're going to split the screens. If you'd like to watch the Colts, they're on channel 716. Boom!
All right. Well,
nailed it!
I was hoping that I would get you to just admit the folly of your idea. Now I have to bring out the big guns and tell you that we do have the audition that you recorded for the DirecTV Red Zone.
Well,
yeah, the K-Rock microphones were there, and we actually we have the tape of when you applied to be the backup.
So you'll
guy.
Hear, you'll hear that I'm the guy.
We'll hear.
Okay, let's start the game. The Buffalo Bills playing the Damiano Dolphins, and they're in the red zone. Oh, let's fumble. Fumble in the touch. It's touchdown. Touchdown. Okay, next game is New England Patriots and the New York Nets. And the New York Jets. Field goal. 3-7. Touchdown. 7 points for them. Oh, next game we go Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. Oh, the. Oh, fourth down. They're going for it. Fourth down. Going for it. That was the first down. Never mind. First down. Go. Now San Francisco 90-40s. The Seahawks Seattle. And the, oh, it's all tied up. We're going for overtime. No, it's halftime. I'm going now. Carolina Panthers, so Atlanta Falcons, and it's a 3-point game, and they score touchdown, and the Falcons score touchdown, and now it's 17-09 together, military time. Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles, stupid, absurd game. I'm going to look at that game. Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, and they are, it's our game's all over. They're all on the party bus.
I was wrong. See? I would watch that. I would never stop watching that.
I'm your guy. 7K Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Friday morning, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is going on?
Kevin talking for 7 hours straight on live television. Can you imagine?
I wouldn't be that bad consistently, but I would get that bad a lot, probably.
7 hours live television, yeah. Just you talking.
Yeah.
It'd be I think the number of people, the percentage of people who can do what Andrew Siciliano does, who are professional broadcasters, has to be less than 1%.
Yeah, right. That's really why do. I'm so amazing.
It's minuscule.
Yeah, there's no way I would ever want to attempt that job.
No.
You'd fail every. I'm failing now just talking about how bad I would fail doing that job.
And the facts and figures that he balances and those plates that he spins, and he just. It's remarkable the work
seamless.
That he does on that show. Really.
Even before we started having him in, I called him the hardest working man in show business. It was, it is still to me, a marvel to watch him on a Sunday and hear what he does. It's remarkable. But Kevin would be the second best.
I can do it.
Absolutely. Tonight at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show. We do all the week's showbiz news as well as some other entertaining segments, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Kevin gets very baked. I get belligerent and drunk, and we all have a good time. Come out and see us. Go to improv.com or babylonralph.com to get your tickets. We will be talking about Miley Cyrus for sure.
Yeah.
We talk about her so much, she has her own theme song now on the show.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Boy, she... I guess if her sole game plan is just to garner as much, hey, look at me, attention as possible, she's doing the right thing.
I think it is.
But what does that really get you in the long run? I mean, and this is going to sound like a, hey, kids, get off my lawn thing. But what do you really garner as a performer or as an entertainer simply by taking off your clothes? Because really anybody can do that.
You get my respect.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You get the creepy old man who just dropped their cargo shorts down around their ankles. Is that really the effect that you want?
Look,
I mean, it's not really shocking anymore, right? No one's really taken aback by it, and it doesn't make you more mature automatically or more interesting or edgy. It just makes you seem kind of desperate, doesn't it? If that's your go-to?
Look, I'm in favor of taking the clothes off. I'm good with that. But she does look like a 9-year-old boy, and that's not sexy.
But if most people who take their clothes off to get attention, that's what they got.
Right.
Right? That's all they have.
Well, and I think to your point earlier, Ralph, she does have some talent. She is making some music that people like. This isn't like Courtney Stodden.
Right.
Literally all she has is go out there and show your cans. I mean,
that's
she could certainly focus on the positives in her world right now instead of this lowest common denominator junk she's doing.
Showing your hooch and your cans are for those people who desperately want to be famous who have nothing else going on. The Courtney Stoddens, the Farrah Abrahams, these are the people who... they don't have anything else to offer, so that's where they go. And they get a short-lived, white-hot attention that eventually fades, and then we all forget about
it. I think she's probably trying to go the Madonna route, which is a lot of controversy. Every single time she comes out with an album, there's something everybody's all up in arms about, and it did sort of work for her.
For Madonna, it worked for Madonna because that was 30 years ago when nobody else was in that
realm.
It
wasn't just nudity. It was also religion and lyrics and stuff like that. It wasn't
absolutely.
Just taking
it. Absolutely. It was a box, and it seemed like it came from somewhere. It seemed like it or not, Madonna was that person. She was an edgy person from get-go. I mean, back when she was sort of slumming it in the dance clubs in New York and stuff, that she had this edge to her, and it was part of her generic personality. This seems like just a desperate attempt of, hey, look at me, I'm not Hannah Montana anymore.
Yeah.
It seems sort of crass and plastic and very, it smells like marketing to me. All that being said, she did have 14 new not-safe-for-work pictures of her hit the internet yesterday. It was a photo shoot done with dirty old man Terry Richardson. He released a set of her shooting her in some cheap motel room in New York City.
He does good work.
And she got her cans out. First photos of her with her cans out. And she's got her thong pulled up into her hoo-ha. And she's got her tongue out. And she's smoking a joint during the photograph. So it's very edgy, man, because she's smoking pot.
She is out of control.
She is just
she's wild.
Not, she, no, she's not. She's not Hannah Montana anymore, I'll tell you that much. Just smacks of desperation. And then Sinead O'Connor and her have been going at it. And, wow, you know, don't punch down, Miley. Pick your enemies. Sinead O'Connor had been asked by a ton of press outlets because Miley Cyrus said in a Rolling Stone interview, you know, my video for Wrecking Ball, where I'm talking directly into the camera, singing directly in the camera, and I'm very emotional, was greatly influenced by Sinead O'Connor's Nothing Compares to You. I always loved that video, and I'm a fan of hers. So a lot of press went to Sinead O'Connor and said, what do you think?
Right.
And so rather than do an interview, she did an open letter to Miley Cyrus and said, look, I appreciate what you said, and I'm glad you're a fan, and I hope you'll take this for what it's worth and know that it's meant with the best of intentions. But you just, you know, slutting it up really isn't going to do anything for you as an artist, and all it's going to do is make a bunch of creepy old men rich, like guys who run record labels and everything. They're kind of pimping you out. And, you know, just take that for what it's worth. Well, Miley Cyrus comes back with, she tweets, before there was a man to buy, and there was this broad. And she shows a bunch of her tweets when she really was battling with mental illness, and the picture of her on Saturday Night Live tearing up the picture of the Pope.
Right.
Oh, craziness. She's so crazy. Which, really, when you look back at what the Catholic Church has been hiding over the past few decades
That's
and
true.
What they've been doing to kids, and now they've been moving priests around, maybe Sinead O'Connor knew what she was talking about when she tore up that picture. Anyway, they've been going at it very publicly, and it just seems... I don't know. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe Miley Cyrus will go on to be a great artist and an entertaining performer, and we'll all enjoy her. Right now, she just seems like she needs a real kick in the...
She just seems to be going from stunt to stunt.
Yeah. Here's why you should stay away from drugs, kids. Zac Efron. Not only a little problem.
Right.
But here's what happens when you're all high, when you're all loaded up on goofballs. You sleep with Nicki Minaj.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No.
Whoa.
Yep.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
That happened?
Yeah.
No.
Apparently, Zach was whack. He got loaded up, and then they had sex. One night, they shared in July. Nicki Minaj calls him the best lover she's ever had.
Well, we know that's not true.
Yeah. And, see, when you're not in charge of your faculties, people, this is what can happen. You can wind up in jail, or you can wind up in Nicki Minaj. Either way. It's a bad ending to your story.
Both forms of jail.
That's all I'm saying.
She's too crazy to be sexy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, that voice and that attitude. Yeah. Could you listen to that for a hot second?
No.
She's not even that hot, either. She's another one just, oh, let me get my cans out and put on a pink wig and, blah, look at me. We live in weird times, people. Today's celebrity birthday, Susan Sarandon, 67. Russell Simmons. There's a talented guy. He's got a lot going on, that guy.
Knows what he's doing.
He sure does. 56 years old. Christoph Waltz, speaking of talented guys, 57. Liev Schreiber's 46. A lot of talented people on this list. Then there's Alicia Silverstone. She's 37 years old. M. Ward of She and Him, along with the lovely Zooey Deschanel. He makes up that band. 40 years old. Rachel Lee Cook is 34. Did you see more of Rachel Lee Cook? Where's she been?
That's a good question.
Don't see her a lot anymore. Dakota Johnson. Daughter of Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith, soon to be seen in 50 Shades of Grey. She's 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Good times this weekend at the StubHub Center this Sunday afternoon. Este Domingo, Domingo, Domingo. It's the Super Classico. LA Galaxy versus Chivas USA. Always a good time. We're always happy to welcome our friend Landon Donovan, number 10 from your Los Angeles Galaxy. Back to the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Landon.
Good morning.
How you feeling, brother?
I feel good.
Good.
Beautiful Friday morning in Manhattan Beach, making breakfast. Everything's good.
How's your leg? Better?
It's better. Thanks for asking. Right. I had an ankle sprain, but we're doing better. It's still attached, so everything's good.
It's still attached. That's a minimum requirement.
You never know, you know?
Speaking of health issues, since the last time we talked to you, Mr. Donovan, you had a crazy case of pink eye and played. Ooh. That was the game against Mexico. What was that like being out there? What was your field of vision like playing with pink eye?
Well, I think you never know how, I guess, valuable your eyes are until you have something like that. But it didn't, ironically enough, it didn't really affect me, I didn't think. I mean, I feel much better now that my eyes completely open and I can see again. But I guess thinking back in retrospect, it was probably hindering me a little bit. But the human body is an amazing thing. You know, that's probably why we have two eyes in case something happens to one.
It's very contagious, though. Did you notice defenders getting out of your way?
We got close. We had a few butterfly kisses. Butterfly kisses. keep them at bay. But fortunately, actually, the crazy thing, it is very contagious, but I'm proud of myself because none of my teammates got it, so that was good.
All right. Oh, that is good. I don't know if you saw, I mean, you became a meme that night as people around the country were watching the game, and some of those still shots that they grabbed off the TV, you were terrified. You looked like a cyborg. Like, I would not have wanted to face you.
It didn't do too much for my single game, but that's okay.
Now let's talk about the Galaxy season, as you, again, like last year, are really bringing it right up to the edge. Just really hanging on. You're in playoff contention, but you can't win the Supporter Shield. You can't get the best record. You're probably going to make the playoffs. You're probably going to have to play all the games on the road. Why?
Right.
Why are you doing this to us?
We've had an interesting season. We've actually, for the most part, played really well in the majority of games and throughout each game, but we've had our Achilles heel has sort of been either giving up late goals or giving up goals off corner kicks or free kicks and stuff like that, and it's really punished us a lot. We should be, based on how we've played, right at the top of the table, but because of those mistakes, we're not. So we're still in okay shape, and we may just have to do it like we did last year, but we're a team that can do it, so we're okay with that.
Bruce Arena seems like he's a super chill guy, but I imagine
for the most part, but I imagine after
you know, you're leading into the 87th minute or whatever it happens to be and you give up a goal, I imagine that must just drive him out of his mind.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce is ultra competitive, and so he's not too happy when those things happen. I mean, it's hard as a coach because your team plays well the whole game, and then you make one silly mistake, and you end up paying for it, and then what are you supposed to say to your team, you know? So it's difficult because we're in a business where results matter, but sometimes you can play really well, and something happens, and the result's bad, and then everyone feels bad after.
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen in sports. I mean, I was actually watching some of that game a couple of Sundays ago. You were playing in Portland where that goal was called back because of the player being offsides. And that's the type of thing that you could never expect. It's just, I mean, it's a matter of inches sometimes.
Yeah, and that's why as you get older, you don't hang on to the result of the game so much anymore because it can really devastate you. I mean, we played really well that game. We gave up one play on a corner kick where a guy scored a kind of unbelievable goal against us, and then we score a goal at the end that gets called back, and you end up feeling bad about it, but you have to look at the whole of the game and you say, you know what, we didn't play bad, we played well, so you don't want to get too hung up on the results sometimes.
Do you go back, in that particular case, Robbie Keane got the offside call, and you both ran over to the ref, right. And I thought you were going to beat him up first. Do you go back and look at the tape? Do you go back and watch it and say, you know, his shoulder, he was leaning, but his feet seemed to be onside. Do you do that?
No, I think, yeah, we do, and the ref absolutely got it right. It was very close, you know, but I think he got it right. The only thing I said is, I hope you're sure, because this is a big call in the scheme of how the season goes, and to his credit, he did a great job, and he handled the situation well, and I think he was right.
Now let's talk about Chivas USA. They really don't have anything to play for. They're not going to be in the playoffs. Is that a more dangerous team that just is kind of looking for, yeah?
Yeah, much more dangerous. We encountered this a few weeks ago. We went to D.C., and D.C. is in last place in the whole league, but when the L.A. Galaxy come to town, it's the biggest game of the year for them, and they played by far their best game of the year against us. We ended up tying the game 2-2, but these are dangerous situations, and Chivas is down the hall from us. They're our rival, and my guess is that they've been waiting for this game the last couple months, because they're not in the playoffs. They're not going to be in the playoffs. So
this is their one sweet spot for the year. Sure.
They have nothing to lose, and if they can help ruin our season, then they'll be happy to do it.
This is like, you play for the Bruins, you have a terrible football season, but at least if you beat USC, the season isn't a waste, right? This is the voice of our friend Landon Donovan here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Los Angeles Galaxy. We're talking about the game this Sunday at the StubHub Center. This is against Chivas USA. If you want to go, we actually have tickets to give away right now to caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. Actually, we'll give away a few pairs starting with caller 20. You win tickets to the K-Rock and LA Galaxy second annual Supporters Bash. Dave, the King of Mexico, is going to be there along with some Galaxy players and alumni. DJ Jeremiah Red. It's going to be a big to-do. That's this Sunday at the StubHub Center. Landon's in his kitchen right now. He told us making breakfast. What are you cooking up there today, Landon?
I am making, this is going to get you excited, I am making something called teff. It's an Ethiopian grain that they have found that has been like this superfood. It's kind of like quinoa in that it's a complete protein.
I hope it works, but that sounds horrible. That sounds so terrible.
It's like porridge.
Okay, but you know that we live in a world where you could still buy Lucky Charms and Captain Crunch, right, Landon? You got that, right?
Yeah, now that I'm saying, these people should be sponsoring me. I'm just totally help them out.
Let's talk about the national team just for one second. You guys qualified for the World Cup. Does that take a lot of pressure off? Did you spend time thinking about that before?
This is it's our seventh straight time, which there's not many national teams in the world that are able to do it seven in a row. So at this point, it's sort of expected. And it was fun to be a part of it because the young guys are so excited, and it's fun to sort of re-experience it that way. For me, it was, you do expect it, and it's a little bit relief more than it is joy. But for the young guys, it's just this utter joy because a chance to go to the World Cup. So it was really fun to experience it in this way this time.
Now, what does the national team do for the rest of the year? I mean, you have other qualifying games that it doesn't really matter how you do. Do you stay?
Yeah, we have two in the next couple weeks, which there's a good chance that a couple of us will go to. And then we've got friendly games the rest of the year. And then once January hits, it's all about getting ready for Brazil. So it's exciting.
And it must be so especially exciting for a guy like you who's been on the national team for so long and I believe is the leading scorer for the men's national team, right? You know, all told. Right. It must be exciting for you every time you qualify to go, hey, I get to experience that. I get to do that one more time because you never know how many of those years you have left.
That's exactly what I tell people because you just don't know. And there's no guarantee I'll be there next year either. But I tell everybody if you ever get a chance, obviously not as a maybe professional athlete, but if you ever get a chance to go to a World Cup, it's absolutely the biggest party and the most fun you'll ever have in your life. And so to do it in Brazil where they're already crazy about life anyway, and it's sort of the, in some ways, the motherhood of football, of soccer around the world, it's going to be really, really special.
Landon, I'm coming to Brazil for the World Cup with a midget with a midget comedian. So if you need to hang out at any point.
With a midget comedian?
Yes, sir.
Our friend Brad Williams. I don't know if you're familiar with Brad. He's a friend of the show, and he's an awesome dude, and he is going with Kevin.
He's 4 foot four.
Maybe he can come. He can put on a show for us in the hotel.
He's my security guard.
Kevin, you stay away from the team in Brazil. All right, they've got enough going on. All right, we're going to let you get back to your horrible Ethiopian breakfast, Landon. But have fun this Sunday, and I don't know where we'll talk to you again. But you know, we're always pulling for you. We love you guys, and we always appreciate the time you give us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Landon.
Allie and Ashley are contestants on The Amazing Race. They also happen to be Los Angeles Kings ice girls. But that's not why we're having them, man. We just want to talk about the awesome Amazing Race. That's next hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. Cousin Sal has a preview of NFL Week 5. He'll be making his picks coming up later on today. Right now, though, we want to talk about if you've ever been in a situation where you stopped a crime from being committed. A couple of stories in the news about this happening recently, including one that Ralph just wants to give this guy a medal. This is an old man.
I do too.
Where's he working? He's at a gas station? Is that where he's working? They try to rob him at a gas station, right? In Manchester, England. They show up. It's a bunch of guys in hoodies. They stab the guy in the arm, trying to rob him, trying to get the money out of his register, right? What does he do? Does he cower like a little girl in the corner and say, oh, don't hurt me, just take the money? No, he doesn't. He takes his shoe off and starts beating the guys with his shoe to the point where they turn and start running away. He chases after them with one shoe on and the other shoe in his hand.
They've got knives.
A baller.
They've got knives. He right. has his shoe.
And he's an old man.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far and I can't hear too good.
The man behind the counter, by the way, also picked up a glass jar to defend himself during the attack, but he suffered two puncture wounds to his arm and later needed 12 stitches. Here's what the police in Manchester said. This man's heroic actions meant that these thieves got away empty-handed, but for his trouble, he was wounded. We will do all we can to find the men responsible. I imagine that if you're in a situation like that, particularly where you're not just a witness, where you're actually the victim of the crime, I would imagine that there's that moment where you decide what to do. Are you going to – is it fight or flight? Am I going to fight back so that I don't lose my purse or my wallet or my car or whatever it is I've got? Or am I just going to say, hey, and this is what you're always advised to do, your stuff isn't worth your life. Just let them take whatever they want and get away if you can.
And you have to do all those computations in about 1 second.
Right. Exactly.
You got to really figure out what you're going to do immediately. Bean, tell the people about your heroics when you were in that 7-Eleven that got robbed.
We want to take your calls, by the way. If you have ever been in a position to stop a crime, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you were able to get away from a carjacker. Who knows what the story was? You tell us. What were you able to do to stop a crime?
Let's say you were in a 7-Eleven and somebody came in to rob it.
1-800-520-1067.
And you're in a position to do something. What do you do?
What did you expect me to do in that situation?
What did you do?
I was in a 7-Eleven one time. I know, hard to believe, right? And a guy came in to rob the 7-Eleven while I was in the store. And I'm sure – I don't remember a lot about it, but I'm sure at the time
Bean
I
stepped
thought,
into the bathroom and put on his Superman costume and came out and regulated.
I think I just crouched down. You probably, I probably just crouched down behind the shelves or something like that. So he thought the store was empty. So
you
he
hit.
Didn't think.
Well, Bean the hit. Last, Bean is 6'6".
Right. But the last thing you want is for a guy, and I don't, again, don't remember all the details. He may have had a gun. I don't remember if he did or not. But the last thing you want is a guy to go, hey, I get away with this as long as I eliminate the witnesses. I don't want to get shot or something just because I'm in the wrong place, wrong time.
Did you make this noise?
What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to leap over a counter and tackle this guy?
That's what the old dude did with a shoe.
But he was working there, and they were trying to take money from him and his business.
You asked what?
But I'm just a customer. I'm just a guy in buying a quart of chocolate milk. That's all I'm doing.
But we're asking for people to call that are non-bean-like. You didn't hide. You stopped a crime. Somehow.
Yes, that would be a better story than what I have. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. And let me add one more story to the pile here as we get our calls together. And this is, Us Weekly dropped the ball by not asking for additional information. They're doing an article on Cher in this week's issue. Cher, by the way, is back, Kevin. I don't know if you know about this. I know she retired back in the 90s.
Yeah, I've seen her, you know, on a magazine.
She's got the number one dance track in America right now. This woman's work is a huge hit. Her album is number two in America.
What?
I mean, Cher is back. So they're doing an interview with Cher in Us Weekly, and she's talking about some of the crazy things that have happened in her life. And she says, with no further details given or asked for by the magazine, Meryl Streep and I saved a girl from a large mugger in New York City. Now,
I'm calling BS.
I want to hear how that happened.
Because I believe Cher would try. But Meryl Streep is not exactly stepping in to take a bullet.
Well, this is back in the 80s, remember?
Doesn't matter.
So they're much younger, but they saved a girl from a large mugger. I mean, did Meryl Streep, like, jump on somebody's back while Cher hit him in the face? I mean, what? How did
the Cher... Meryl. Oh, that was Meryl. Cher. Meryl. Cher. Meryl. Now she's on her back. On his back. Running start kick.
Wow.
Meryl knows jiu-jitsu. A lot of people don't know that.
K-Rock, microphones were there. All right. I think we can. All right. I'm just saying I want more details. Eddie, you hang on. We're going to get to you first, and we'll take everybody else's calls at 1-800-520-1067. How did you stop a crime? Your call's next on K-Rock. Talking about you stopping a crime. What happened? 1-800-520-1067. Bunch of stories in the news lately where that happened. Not all of us rise to the occasion, it turns out.
Being hid.
But Eddie did. Apparently, Eddie on line two, he's going to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa, man.
Hi.
I'm here. I'm not on vacation.
What did you do? How'd you stop the crime?
All right. Well, I was at a convenience store late at night, and the guys at the convenience store let me in and a friend in, and they closed the door behind us because it was already like 2 o'clock and we were buying some alcohol.
Right. Okay, we don't need every detail, but go ahead.
Get to the crime part.
So on the way out, the convenience store guy opens the door. There's a guy in a hoodie there, all with a bandana on his face, and he has both his hands in his hoodie. When he pulls out one of his hands, he has a gun, and I noticed that the gun was fake. So what I did is I laughed at the guy and everybody else. There's two convenience store attendants and my friend, and I just turned around, looked back at him, and said, "Hey, this guy has a fake gun." I started laughing, and the guy just turned around and took off.
You're a hero. You are a hero, Eddie.
You are a hero. Thank you, Eddie, for the call. Let's go to line nine here. Mystery caller on line nine's got a story about stopping crime.
Hello?
One time in my city, an evil perpetrator dressed as a clown tried to poison the water supply.
Adam.
So my youthful ward and I stopped him from doing that.
Adam.
Yes.
We're taking calls from listeners about stuff they did, not things you did on TV.
I didn't do this on TV. It was real.
Okay. Thank you for the call. We got to go. Let's go to Hopper. He got into a real-life fist fight, it sounds like. He's on line seven. Oh, excuse me. She's on line seven. Hi. I'm sorry. I never met a woman named Hopper before.
That's okay. I'm probably the only one.
All right. Okay. What happened?
I caught my own mugger.
You cut your own mugger.
Yeah.
So the guy took what from you? Your purse and your wallet and stuff?
My wallet. I was holding my wallet. I was walking out of a Target. It was in the parking lot, and he ran up from behind and grabbed my wallet, and I just bolted after him. And I got up to him, and I think I tripped him. I don't remember that part well. But I kept begging him, can I just have my wallet back? It's got my library card. It's got my, you know, I was really.
Wait, hold on.
Hold on, Hopper.
My library card. Wait, but did you lead with your library card? Because isn't there more important stuff like your license and credit cards?
Well, my credit cards are no good, but.
But I'm sorry. If I'm a mugger, I'm laughing when you say you want your library card back.
I don't know. What came to my. I'm begging him. So he trips and my wallet falls and I get my wallet. And I sort of walk away, like, okay, I got my wallet back. And these women who had seen it, I guess, sort of jumped him.
All right.
And sat on him, and one called the cops. And I was walking, I was stunned after a while. And standing at my car, and I look up, I'm like, there's four police cars over there. I wonder what they're here for. And they were there for my mugger.
Wow, so, you don't sound very bright.
So he got arrested. I mean, there was a... court date. And
all right. Listen.
It was awesome. But, yeah.
Thank you. So. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
A lot of detail there.
A lot of detail on that call. Let's go to Adam. Hello, Adam.
Oh, Adam's on the line. Okay.
One time in my city,
evil
perpetrator who had a freeze gun tried to steal all of the ice, if you will, in my city. Of course, ice meaning diamonds.
Right.
My youthful ward and I stopped him and put him behind bars where he belongs.
Adam West, thank you for the call. How about Scott on line one? Now, this is interesting. Scott is working at JCPenney. How much do you expect store security to ever do to get involved in a crime? Not much, right?
I would guess nothing. What happened,
Scott?
Well, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Good morning, Scott.
I was working in the suit department, not in security. I was in a full-blown suit. And heard some commotion over by the elevator, and next thing I knew, I was getting up off the floor with the guy on the ground. I'm told that the guy was shoplifting, and he was wailing on this little girl they had there as a security guard.
So you don't even remember much of what happened except for you were both on the ground in a scrap, in a fight.
All of a sudden, I got up. I was like, what the hell? He's looking at me like, what the hell? And then we got the handcuffs on. I'm like, okay.
I wonder if this is common. It's interesting. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Scott. Hopper was saying the same thing, that she doesn't remember very many of the details. I wonder if it's one of those things where it just happens so fast that after the fact you know something happened, but you're kind of fuzzy on the details.
Could be.
And you probably oftentimes think, wow, was I stupid for even attacking that person or fighting back, but that was my impulse at the time. All right, let's go to Adam on line nine. What now?
This one time in my city, an evil perpetrator who kept leaving me these riddles as clues.
Right, the Riddler.
Stole my wallet.
Right.
I asked him, please, can I have it back? I need my library card.
That's not what happened on that episode or in your life, Adam. That was Hopper, an earlier caller.
My youthful ward and I were at a convenience store, and I said, this guy's got a fake gun. And we started to laugh at him. He laughed. He was wearing a bandana.
Okay.
I can't remember what sort of shoes he was wearing. I believe they were sneakers or tennis shoes of some kind. And all I remember is wrestling on the ground with him.
Thank you, Adam.
I was in a full-blown suit.
We were talking about Cher's story in Us Weekly, where she and Meryl Streep allegedly thwarted a mugging.
If I could turn back crime.
Ralph, I was asking why there weren't more details. If you'll give me just 30 seconds of your showbiz time here, Kevin B. Lister David wrote in and gave me a transcript of the AMA that Cher just did on Reddit recently, where somebody asked what the details were of them saving a girl from being mugged. Will you permit me? Ralph?
Oh, yes, I will, Bean.
Well, Meryl had just had Mimi and wanted to get some ice cream. She was just telling me what a safe neighborhood it is. It's in Little Italy, bordering on Chinatown. We walked around the corner. There was this huge guy ripping this girl's clothes and trying to get her purse. Meryl just took off and started running toward them, yelling. Then I did, too. The guys got frightened and started running away. I thought, great, we saved the girl, but now we're going to get killed somehow. When we got to the girl, she was completely shaken up. Her dress was ripped. She was crying. We kind of patted her, and we started talking to her, and we asked if she needed any help going anywhere or doing anything. She said she was a singing
waitress. Then she started screaming, "Oh my God, I was just saved by Meryl Streep and Cher." Then we looked over and there were two men standing there and they didn't do a thing. Those two big a-hole men just watched the whole thing happen. So that lady's got a story to tell for the rest of her life, doesn't she?
Yeah, but no one believes her. They think she's
crazy. No one would ever believe that story.
Yeah, it was Cher, and I'm pretty sure it was Meryl Streep.
So anyway.
The reason I was shocked is because I sent Bean that email yesterday with that exact same story.
Oh, and he didn't have the details?
Yes.
Oh, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't like stuff from us.
No, he doesn't. Listeners, yes. Me, no.
In general.
Yeah.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, I'm just proud as a peacock, that's all.
Proud as a peacock?
Proud as a peacock. I don't know if you saw the new LA Weekly came out today.
I did not.
It is their Best of Los Angeles edition.
Yeah.
Well, let me read for you their choice for Best Live Conversation Podcast in Los Angeles.
Oh, all right. I wonder what this could be.
Little show called Hollywood Babylon.
Yay!
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, let's go to the phone real quick. I believe there's somebody I want to congratulate.
Is it Batman?
Well, it's about time.
Mr. Kevin Smith?
How are
you? Yeah!
How are you, sir?
It's nice to get a little acknowledgement in the LA Times. LA Weekly.
LA Weekly, yes.
Do we have to call you award winner Kevin Smith now?
No, man. Okay. The awards that I win are not awards that one wants to, you know, put up on a shelf. I have one award just simply says fattest. hey, can I jump in with a mugging story real quick?
Sure.
So I was in Pittsburgh shooting Dogma, and me and Alanis Morissette, she was in the movie, she played God.
Right,
spoilers.
Sure.
Anyway, we're walking around Pittsburgh late at night. And it was one of those things where we started walking during the day, and by the time we finished up, it was nighttime, we were in the heart of the city. So we're walking down this very dark street, and across the street from us, another guy is walking. And then all of a sudden, that dude kind of shiftily crosses the street to get into our path.
Mm.
And we have about, I don't know, 20 seconds as he's approaching us, and we're approaching them, this guy rather. And I'm sitting there going, what do we do, man? And she feels it too, and she's just like, that felt weird because the guy moved across the street. And the dude is almost upon us, and he reaches into his jacket, and I'm getting ready to push Alanis Morissette down and run.
Offer her up as a sacrifice.
Oh, he won't go after me if he goes after her, and I was singing thank you at her and stuff. Right. In any event, just as I was about to push her down and make a run for it, the dude pulls out of his jacket two rolled up magazines. One was Good Housekeeping. He goes, you guys want to buy a magazine?
Oh, man.
Kidding.
I bought them for $20. I was so delighted not to be mugged. But my relationship with Alanis Morissette was never the same. She looked at me going like, I know you were going to throw me under the bus.
She felt that, didn't she?
She could tell.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations on winning this this award. That's pretty cool.
It's a sweet thing, man. It's all due to Ralph. Ralph is the godfather of that show.
Let me read you a little quote from what they say here. What makes this duo special is the harmony between Smith and Garmin. Kevin is a lovable, mischievous kid bear.
Oh, my God. That puts me like in Miley Cyrus country. I could be wearing a bikini and sticking my tongue out.
You're a kid bear.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you.
I can't stop, and I won't stop.
I'm going to call you kid bear all night tonight.
What did they say about you, Ralph? Just a raging angry alcoholic?
No. They say Ralph is more of a puppet master.
Now, what do they mean by that?
Kevin, you have to call him Puppet Master tonight.
I will from now on, gleefully. Look, before they wrote it, I was calling him Puppet Master all the time.
I think it's because they know I have my hand up your butt.
No, no doubt. You're working me like Kermit. Oh. That's awesome. It's awesome to get a little link in that paper. We have a show tonight. Folks, come out and see us. What time, 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock tonight at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. All right, let's give away a pair right now, Kev. How about that to celebrate?
Absolutely.
Call in right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a pair of tickets, excuse me, to go see Hollywood Babylon tonight at the Improv on Melrose.
Congratulations, sir.
Real quick, thank you, and congratulations to you.
Thanks.
I got a small movie that's opening up today. It's here in the city. It's playing at the Arena Cinema on Las Palmas. It's called The Dirties.
Oh.
It is the best film I've seen all year, if not in the last 5 years. An assured first film by this guy named Matt Johnson, who made a school shooting movie, but not in that medicine-y kind of like depressing way. It's actually a movie that takes you inside the mind of a high school shooter, man, and it doesn't demonize them right away. It shows you how a person kind of gets to it. It is a stunning, stunning film.
Wow.
Funny, warm, unbelievably honest, and made for like change. Like,
now, are you
change.
Are you pimping this just as a fan, or do you have some involvement in it, Kevin?
I was pumping it as a fan from the moment I saw it, but luckily we scored it for the Kevin Smith Movie Club, which is this indie distribution label that I got with Phase 4. So mostly we do VOD and DVD, but the Dirties we're bringing to theaters as well. So it's in theaters today, like I said, in town at the arena, or you can watch it on iTunes right now. You don't even have to leave your house. I'm telling you, I wouldn't steer you wrong. This is one of the best first films you'll ever see, and also you'll watch the movie once going, this is amazing. I can't believe how audacious it is. I can't believe what it says. Can't believe somebody waited this long to make this movie. And then you will watch it again to learn how to do it, because these dudes did it for like $1,000, $3,000.
Wow.
Just doing it themselves. No script whatsoever. They call each other their own names so that while they're in the middle of shooting, they don't have to sit there and remember what's your character's name, so they can just call each other Owen and oh, good Lord, it's escaped me. But it's pretty fascinating, man.
I'm a
guy who made an indie film back in 94 with Clerks and whatnot. I love low-budget, no-budget films. And these guys, like, I sat here picking the director, Matt Johnson, he's also in the movie, picking Matt's brain, going, how'd you do this? How'd you do this? And it was a complete film school just watching the movie a second time. So if you're interested in making movies, this is the one to watch. Like, years
That's
ago,
cool.
People were like, I wanted to make a movie. I saw Clerks, made me want to make a movie. This movie, you watch The Dirties, it will definitely make you want to make a movie, but it'll make it seem even easier. It'll make it seem within your grasp. Go see it or watch it on iTunes. It's such a good flick.
I will absolutely take you up on that tip. That is a huge endorsement from you, Mr. Smith. The film is called The Dirties, and you can see Ralph Garman and Kevin Smith with their award-winning Hollywood Babylon. That's going to be tonight at the Hollywood Improv. Ralph, again, where can people buy tickets?
Improv.com is probably the easiest way to go, or Babylon Kev or Babylon Ralph. You can check it out there as well.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good talking to you.
Always a pleasure.
See you, buddy. Wow, a movie that taught Kevin how to make movies.
How about that?
Finally. We got around to that.
It's about time you
that's,
learned.
That's a
time,
fascinating subject. I don't know if you guys saw that. Let's Talk About Kevin, but it was a similar sort of thing where you look at stories like that and go, how did we get here? What happened in these people's lives to lead them to this point? That's a fascinating topic to address.
And this Dirties is they play it as if it's found footage of the guys who actually do. It's a fictional shooting, but they play it like it's a real story, and they have real documentation of what those
Sounds
guys
cool.
went through. And it's supposedly a fascinating film. I haven't a chance to check it out yet, but I intend to. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dakota Johnson's 24 years old today. Rachel Lee Cook turns 34. By the way, I found out I was bitching. There's no Rachel Lee Cook to be had anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's got a TV series on TNT.
Is that right?
It's called Perception.
Never
that's
heard of
that. I said, no. That's a thing?
There's
a show called Perception? Apparently there is.
Now?
Now
currently?
It's happening. It's on TNT. Rachel Lee Cook is in it. So I'm going to go get my RLC fix over there at Perception. Alicia Silverstone's 37 years old today. M. Ward of She and Him is 40 years old. Liev Schreiber turns 46. Christoph Waltz, 57 years old today. Russell Simmons is 56. And actress Susan Sarandon celebrates her 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
One of the classiest shows on TV, it's been on for years and years now and continues to get excellent ratings, is The Amazing Race on CBS Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. Kevin, we talked about it. We could have really asked for any of the contestants on this season of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, it's just random.
It's just random. It happened. We spun the wheel and it happened to land on the two hottest chicks that have ever been on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Allie and Ashley, contestants on this season's The Amazing Race. Hi, girls. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Welcome to K-Rock, first of all. Kevin said as you sat down that everybody who's ever watched The Amazing Race looks at it and goes, ha, I could do that. And that was you guys at one point. You must have been fans of the show and thought the same thing. Thought, hey, I want to get me a piece of that, right?
Totally. 100%.
Tell me about the process. Tell me about how one gets onto The Amazing Race.
Well, for us, it was pretty special because Jerry Bruckheimer is actually a huge hockey fan. So he looked at us on the ice and he's like, dang, those girls are... I like what they do.
Right.
So he said he wanted some ice girls out there, and we had the opportunity to audition, which was still a long process.
What do you do for the audition?
We had to go through this insane interview process with a bunch of hot chicks.
I mean, there were a lot of cute girls in there.
There was a lot of really cute
girls. Was
it
Caddy?
No.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. We were all staring each other down.
Sure.
Yes.
So wait, what do you mean you had to go into an audition with a bunch of hot chicks? Meaning, do they have a certain number of slots every year for hot chicks and you have to compete among other hot chicks to get on the show for that position?
We don't know what their exact formula is, but we just know that, man, there were a lot of very good-looking girls in there.
Yeah.
And we were all trickling down as the day went on. They would eliminate girls. So
also, someone leave, do the walk of shame.
Exactly.
And then there'd be fewer and fewer, and then you got down to doing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Were the Baseball Wives part of that same audition? Did they get cast from the same group?
They were.
They were, and it was really funny seeing them because we were like, oh my gosh, like they were one of the hot chick groups that we were like, wow.
Yeah, they're up in the hot chick factor on Amazing Race.
Yeah.
And that's good.
And as we see from the previews of this week's episode, there are bikinis. Bikinis happen. Now, all right, so you don't know anything. When the season starts, you have no idea where you're going, what the adventures are going to be, what the tasks are going to be. I mean, you are finding out the same time we, the home viewers, are finding out, which is when those cards are opened, right?
That's right. We had no idea where we were going. We didn't know what languages we'd have to learn.
We didn't know what we were going to end up getting into or how many planes we were going to be on. It was just like,
why did they make you go to Oklahoma? That was weird. Because they took you to Oklahoma for the start just to then send you to Chile.
We didn't go to Oklahoma.
Where did it start? Where was it?
Oh, no. We started right here in L.A.
Yeah, we started in L.A.
Remember, the first thing they do is they get in cars and drive to LAX, Kevin.
Actually, Oklahoma got lost and went to the Staples Center instead of...
And that's where he did his little arm flapping and made his body look like an airplane.
Exactly.
Now, there are other teams that I insist you not lose to. I know you've already shot this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. If you guys lose to this team...
Rowan and Shane, theater performers from Charlotte, North Carolina.
The Bingo!
Has been doing a play called The Queen of Bingo.
Oh,
he plays Babe, and I play Sis. The most important thing for us next to winning is to have fun.
Bingo!
Bingo.
You don't lose to the bingo guys, do you?
You'll have to.
Seriously, I'm going to be really disappointed if those guys beat you.
Oh, goodness.
You're just going to have to tune in and watch and see what happens.
These are two guys that dress up like girls. They're like Cam if he was really gay. That's what I think they're like.
From Modern Family.
From Modern Family, yeah.
Okay.
The character Cam. So how many weeks are there? How many weeks does it take to film the whole thing from start to end?
It's a 23-day...
Oh, that's it. 3 weeks. A little over 3 weeks.
Right.
Why are you looking at each other like you're not supposed to be saying this?
Wait a minute.
Are you not supposed to tell us?
Hold on, wait.
Everybody's been trying to trick us into finding out how we did. So we had to take a pause and make sure we're not saying
anything. So the race is 23 days, and you literally race around the world within that time if you end up staying on the show and don't get eliminated.
What made you guys think you'd be good at The Amazing Race?
We're both extremely competitive people. I mean, in every aspect, whether it's playing Yahtzee or soccer or volleyball, whatever it is. I mean, we like to win. We're both athletic girls, both college educated, and we work well together. So together, I mean, we're a good team. We're fun. And
now, looking back on it, now that you've done it, how different was it than when you thought, hey, I could do that?
It's so much more difficult than you could ever imagine because it's like you're thrown into these crazy challenges and you're just like, how am I ever going to get through this? But then you do and you think that you can do it. And watching it on TV, they make it look like it's a lot easier, but it's
really
not.
That's making it look easier?
It looks terribly hard on the TV show.
Oh my gosh. No, it's pretty hard. We definitely had to be each other's cheerleaders throughout it all and push through.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about episode one because that's the only thing I know you can speak about, definitively because it's already out there. Let's talk about the two real physical things that you had to do in episode one. Which one of you did the paragliding?
I paraglided.
And what was that like? Because that looked like it was super fun. Yet some of the people were just terrified to jump off that mountain.
In all honesty, I wasn't that scared because it was like, well, I'm doing this, so I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to make myself enjoy it. And once we were up there, as long as I didn't look down, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was beautiful. The ocean was there. I could see over the whole city of Chile. And
yeah, Chile's a great city.
Okay. Well,
especially Iquique.
We know what you mean.
It was fun. It was fun. But looking down, yeah, it got kind of scary. I was happy to get on my feet again.
All right, so you had to do the paragliding, and that means you, other hot blonde, you had to do the rowing to try to get the fish into the boat. Now that looked like it was incredibly difficult for some people. How did you find it?
I actually didn't do the rowing. I had to go find Allie after she paraglided. So I had to take both of our backpacks, which was about like 50 pounds, and run I want to say maybe like a mile, maybe a half mile to find her and just kind of like run around the beaches of Iquique. So, and then Allie actually had to do the next one. So the roadblock with paragliding was me.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Bogus. I mean, she has to do everything. She has to do both of the challenges.
All right. We have to take a break. Our guests in the studio here are contestants on The Amazing Race, which airs Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And you heard mention to the fact that they're also ice girls for the Los Angeles Kings, which is a whole other crazy thing that's going on in their life. And, of course, the home opener for the Kings is this Monday night, so you guys will be working, right? You'll be out on the ice.
We
want to talk about what that job is like as well when we return with Allie and Ashley right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Allie and Ashley are in our studio on The Kevin and Bean Show. They are contestants on The Amazing Race. They are also Los Angeles Kings ice crew girls, which, how's that for a job, by the way? What's that like?
It's a dream job. It's everything that you could ever want and more.
Hockey fans before you got there?
Yes.
Yes.
Both of you?
Yeah. Yep.
And are there a lot of regulations of how you have to do it?
Yeah.
As far as the NHL?
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
We clean the CBA.
Yeah. Right? We clean the ice during the TV timeouts, and we have to do it within a certain amount of time. If we go over, then our team gets fined a lot of money.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So there's definitely a lot of pressure on us, and we go out there and skate.
And you are exhausted by the time you get off the ice.
It does look like you're rushing. It looks like you're under someone has a gun on you.
Yes.
Tell me why it's an awesome job.
You meet such a diverse group of people, and hockey fans are so much fun to be around. So it's like you'll be at the games, and it's like a family. The Kings is such an amazing Kings family. And then the girls you work with is awesome. And, you know, you get to dress up every single day, and you get to wear an awesome uniform and be around hockey players. It's just so much fun. And we get to do a lot of charity work with Kings Care and raise a lot of money for that. And we get to shoot a really hot bikini calendar.
Yeah.
What more could you want?
Well, okay. Well, we shoot a hot bikini calendar here at K-Rock, too. I mean, that everybody does that.
I'm going to need to pick up a copy.
Yeah.
Have any of the ice girls ever married one of the hockey players?
No.
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 Take it easy.
are you allowed to date the hockey player?
Not at all.
Apparently.
Not
a slight
talk to them. We can't. No.
You can't talk to them.
No.
Really?
Not really.
That's such a surprise to me. They don't want any kind of fraternization.
No fraternization. It's a zero tolerance rule.
Who breaks that rule? There's got to be somebody. There's got to be one of the girls that breaks the rule.
None that we know of.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
What were you talking about right as the song ran out about trying to get Kevin on the Zamboni machine? Because I think that sounds awesome. What does that entail?
We just have to put him on the Zamboni and just strap him in.
Yeah, I don't...
That's about it.
I've never really wanted to get on the Zamboni because it looks like it would be interesting for about 30 seconds and then what?
Oh, come on. Get the crowd pumped up. Yeah. Wave to people.
I don't see myself
Take
as that person.
Take a video of yourself.
you don't say that till you've done it. It's fun.
I don't know that I'm the guy.
Now, you guys don't travel with the team at all, right?
No, we do not.
But you did go to Las Vegas.
We did.
We did go to Las Vegas.
Still recovering.
I know. The Vegas Frozen Fury struggle.
Frozen Fury is the best. The two games in a row this year was brutal, though.
It was so fun.
It was so fun. Yeah. Double the trouble. So much fun.
Play the Rangers the first night on Friday night this past weekend, and then everybody went out, as you do in Vegas. And then Saturday's game was much more mellow because everybody was sort of hungover. Not you guys,
that.
Of course.
No,
but the rest of us.
No, never the ice cream.
Right,
no.
Of course not.
What do they have planned, if you are privy to it, for the home opener on Monday? What's going to be happening?
For the home opener, I believe that we have a Kingsfest outside of the arena, so we'll have a lot of like fun games set up and things where you can get Kings tattoos and can play some hockey outside. I know that
we take lots of pictures in front of the Staples Center with our whole ice crew team, which is a lot of fun.
You can buy a calendar.
You can buy a wonderful calendar.
Sure. And have us all sign it.
Well, it's gonna be a good time. I'm so happy hockey's back. I can't even tell you, because during the summer when it's just baseball, that's brutal.
It is brutal. Who wants to watch baseball on TV?
Nobody wants to watch baseball.
I do.
Right, Bean?
I do.
Nobody
I
wants
love
to
it.
Watch baseball.
Oh man.
All right. Before we let you go, so obviously go see the girls at Staples Center for Kings games.
Go Kings! Go!
Ooh, there you go.
I love that.
Exactly. Thank you.
Nice.
And anything else you want to tell us about either this weekend or any of the upcoming Amazing Race episodes that you just want to tip us off to before you go?
Well, stay tuned.
That's not telling us anything.
Get ready for six hot chicks in bikinis.
Yeah, why are you in bikinis? What was that? What is that challenge that we're going to see on Sunday night?
It
requires water.
It requires water and carrying heavy things.
Yeah.
All right.
You know.
Well, we don't really care why it is. We're just happy it's happening. I want to play this too. Don't lose to these people.
Leo and Jamal, cousins from Southern California. Jamal and I are known as the Afghanimals.
They're known as the Afghanimals.
Oh, man.
Don't lose to them. Honestly, those guys in the circus clowns or whatever they are, don't lose to them.
Oh, goodness.
Well, you're just going to have to watch.
You don't get kicked off Sunday night, do you?
You're not just watching, see what happens. We can't tell you anything. It's a secret.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you on Monday night.
Yes.
Perfect.
And Sunday night, of course, The Amazing Race at 8 o'clock on CBS.
We have a weird job, don't we, Kevin? What? 1 minute we're talking to LA Kings Ice Girls. The next minute, Wee Man is in our studio out of nowhere, ladies and gentlemen. Wee Man joins us here on K-Rock.
Hey, what's going on, Bean? What's going on, Kev? How you doing?
Well, it's good to see you. I feel like it's been a couple of minutes since we talked to you. What have you been up to?
I've been doing a lot, mainly skateboarding, as I always do. It's my number one hobby. But I've also been doing tacos.
Yeah, as you know, he's got the chronic taco, and I was talking to him in the other room. You know how busy he stays with doing the taco thing and other. He says he does stuff every day for it. And I said, you know, really hands on, and he said, yeah, we have 30 locations. I said, what?
Yeah,
you have 30 locations.
Well, I'm part. My business partner Randy's here with me. He's the founder of Chronic Tacos. We partnered up, and we've now gone to 30 locations.
You're a mogul.
You're trying.
You're a business mogul.
I'm trying.
Ridiculous.
Now, is it tough to get a foothold in the taco world when you have the competition of, you know, national chains like Taco Bell and Del Taco and places like that?
Yeah, it's insane. There's companies out there that just build them on. They're like McDonald's of the taco world.
Right.
And they put them on every corner. And it is tough, you know? I mean, yeah, we have 30, granted. But it's still a tough one. There's problems every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone in and
have to kick ass?
Oh, yeah. You definitely have to kick ass. You do. And
do people, like, straighten up when you walk in?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's funny because
awesome.
People, they get a little – and I'm like, whoa, don't get nervous. I can barely even do anything here. So I'm just glad you guys showed up and work, you know?
Now, you've got a location in Newport Beach, in Redondo Beach, and Huntington Beach, also in San Clemente, in Dana Point, in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're at the Palms Casino. We're in the casino.
What is happening?
You're
taking over the world.
Well, one taco at a time.
Yeah.
trying.
Is today really National Taco Day, or is that just something you made up?
I wish I could have made that up, but I heard about it. We even Googled it right before we came in because I'm like, where did – you know, I wanted to know.
You want to know if it was just a
– Yeah, a rumor or where this started and all. And it is. There's not much about it. It's just people start eating so many tacos one day.
Hey, everyone, eat tacos.
Yeah.
And
then that's it, you know. So
so yep. You brought us a room full of food in there, which, as you can see through that window, Beer Mug is just working his way through without his hands.
Yeah, he's trying to see how many he can eat before the end of the show, I think.
I hope he loves them.
Oh, he loves them. Trust me. Yeah. So what's it like for you on a day-to-day basis? You say you spend a lot of time doing this business. What are you
doing? Yeah, mainly it's making sure everything's run right. It's being in the food industry is tougher than anything.
That's what I've heard. If you try to put your money in a restaurant or something like that, it's the easiest way to lose it.
Yeah.
Difficult.
It's scary. There is scary moments. There's stress. People don't think it's just, you know, a walk in the park, going in, getting, you know, having a taco shop and everything's fine.
It seems like that would be the case.
Yeah, but it's not.
How did you choose restaurants as your business, Wee Man, with all your jackass money? Why did you decide this is the way to invest it?
I kind of just went for it. A buddy of mine introduced me to Randy, and he didn't believe I was going to come and meet him. And so we met.
Because you're Wee Man. I mean, it's weird.
Wee Man, just based on – if you only know Wee Man from the movies and from the magazines, you go, he doesn't seem like a reliable guy. Right?
Shady little person coming through.
Really? Yeah. Sort of.
Yeah, I get
sort
it.
Sort of. And then, you know, you hear that, and you just – everything
– Everything goes
You look
crazy.
Through a certain filter, yeah.
Yeah. No, so We just...
Mugs, you all right?
Oh, my God.
What kind did you get?
He doesn't know.
I got Al Pastor.
Yeah, boy.
With chicken and steak. I just threw it all in one.
Oh, you went it all?
I went into triple combo. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because this is delicious.
Good.
Thank you, man. Do you eat tacos every day?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. After a while, it gets a little tiring. With
anything gets a little tiring if you do it every day, yeah.
The funny part is when I'm at another restaurant and people are like, what are you doing here?
You're the competition.
No. Oh. Like, even like at a burger joint or pizza place. And it's like having a slice of pizza. Why aren't you eating tacos? and I tell them, it's funny. I'm like, well, just because I own it doesn't mean now I've set my life that I have to eat tacos every day.
Nobody could eat the same thing forever. Yeah.
No.
I'll tell you what, guys. I could eat these tacos every day of my
life. Thank you, Muggs.
Well, good. Anybody can.
Well, today is National Taco Day. If you want to celebrate, are you doing anything special at any of the Chronicle Tacos locations for folks who stop by today?
Just high-fiving everybody.
Okay. So you get a free high-five. Get a free high-five with your purchase.
No, I tried to do something crazy, but I think – because we do have franchisees.
Okay.
And we didn't really push anything on them beforehand. So if I said anything and their stores just got swamped.
Yeah, just make a lot of promises and then sit back and watch the chaos.
It could hurt them and I could hear about it. So
I hear if you buy tacos at the Huntington Beach location, you get a new car.
not for me. Actually, you know what? You get a chance to do something with Machete Kills. Because Machete Kills, the movie that's coming out, is doing cross-promotion with us lately.
You're teaming up with Machete Kills?
Yeah, Machete Kills.
What's happening?
They came to us.
They came to you and said, you're the official taco of Machete Kills?
We're the official taco of Machete Kills. So
this is Machete.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a funny story. So we were at the premiere Wednesday night. And I don't, you know, premiere's like, whatever, you're not in the movie. What do you do when you're there? I'm just walking the red carpet, giving goofy faces, who cares, whatever.
Right.
And I see Danny Trejo, and I'm like, well, we have to do something. So he's mid-interview. I just grab his butt as hard as I can.
You did that to Machete.
To Machete.
Wow.
Yep. I grab his butt. He turns around. You know he's about to punch whoever just did that to him. But he turns around. Of course, has to look down to see me. You know, because he's about ready to look eye level and knock whoever just grabbed his butt.
Right.
Out. Looks down, sees me, gets the biggest smile on his face, grabs me and goes, what are you doing here, buddy? Yeah! And I'm like,
whew. Woo, that went well.
Yeah.
You don't want to cross Machete, that's for sure. All right, today is National Taco Day. Why not stop by Chronic Tacos at any of their Southern California or Las Vegas or Vancouver locations? Wee Man, always great to catch up with you. I'm glad things are going so well for you, my friend.
Thanks, Bean. Love hearing from you guys, too, and I always listen to you guys. It's great.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
K Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Jessa Olander from San Dimas just won her front-of-the-line passes for all 12 mazes at Not Scary Farm. Your chance to do the same coming up next hour between 9 and 10 right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And throughout the day at K-Rock, you can get the details at krock.com. We'll talk to Cousin Sal, his preview of the NFL Week 5 coming up in a minute. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
So where's the beer mug's not in the room?
He's in the next room getting more tacos.
Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think someone could pry him away from the table long enough for some of us who haven't had any tacos yet to get one?
Honestly, I don't think so. I don't think that's possible.
You take him down with a trank dart, put him in a cage, load him in the cargo bin of an aircraft, and just send him to that city chili that those girls were talking about. Send him to that chili. Or to Oklahoma, where they started the whole thing.
That was confusing.
All right, that was a little confusing. Where they started the whole amazing race.
Muggs is like a bear that just woke up after hibernation, hasn't eaten in 6 months. He's just devouring everything in front of him.
And he's in a tree, so it's time to trank him and let him bounce off one of those trampolines. Once again, thanks to LA Weekly for putting me and Kevin Smith in their Best of LA edition that came out today. Very surprised and happy to see that we got Best Live Conversation Podcast in Los Angeles. If you would like to see it live for yourself and see if they're right or not, come see Hollywood Babylon tonight at the Hollywood Improv. We are doing a show at 10 p.m. Yeah, the Improv, of course, on Melrose in Hollywood. Love to have you come out. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. Or why don't you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. First caller to get through that number. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to come out and see me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon.
No. I'm going to say no.
Come on.
No.
Do it.
No.
You're going to like it.
No.
Worst ratings of the TV season so far for a new show?
Out of My League or Out of the Field or Out of the Games Con, whatever your show is called?
Stop it. I heard from those folks over there, by
did
the
you?
Way. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. They said, thanks so much for talking about the show. We're glad you like it. Glad you're enjoying it. Why is being a dick?
That's at the end of every email to us.
I said, just is. Can't fish got to swim, birds got to fly. You know how it is.
Now,
just,
for folks who were listening
just the
yesterday.
Nature, just the scorpion and the frog. That's all.
I haven't seen the show. It's okay, based
of course
on nothing.
You haven't.
Ralph has seen it and says it's very good.
Yeah. I enjoy it and it makes me laugh. And being, it's just.
It's bad.
It's bad. But no.
What's doing poorly?
Any guesses? Any guesses?
What is doing poorly?
Worst ratings of the season for a new TV show goes to.
I mean.
And the award goes to.
Dads can't be doing great.
Not this this is not even close to Dad's numbers. This show wish it had Dad's numbers.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow. I don't know.
I don't know.
NBC's Ironside. Yes, Ironside.
Didn't that just debut this week?
It did.
Just dead on arrival.
Who could have thought that reviving an old Raymond Burr TV series about a police detective who reels around in a wheelchair would be a bad idea? Who could have suggested that? Who could have seen that coming? How's that not a slam dunk? You know, with all the legions of fans that Raymond Burr still has, people would love to see an updated Ironside.
And Blair, first of all, I can't watch it because I don't care for the handicapped. You
know
that.
Yeah, I got
and
it.
Second of all, it's not that people have been out there dying for Blair Underwood to get back on their TVs either, right?
Yeah. Actually, it's not fair to Ironside because it is tied with ABC's Lucky 7 as worst rated series. That's apparently a show as well.
That's the one about the seven people who win the lottery and how it changes their lives.
Ah. Maybe in this economy, nobody wants to talk about anybody who wins the lottery. They don't want to see them on television and their problems. Oh, I have too much money. Another bad idea. You know, it's a good idea, TV people. Bringing back old series that we love for limited run miniseries.
Like what?
I love this idea. Like how I'd like to see more of Jack Bauer's adventures.
From 24?
Fox is bringing us 12 more episodes of Keith or Sutherland as Jack Bauer in 24, Live Another Day. They're not bringing back the series. They're going to bring back 12 episodes. It's going to be a mini-series, but it's going to be a new adventure with Jack Bauer and the gang at the CTU.
So is every episode going to be 2 hours then? Or are they getting rid of
12?
The whole conceit of a 24-hour day?
It is going to be a 24-hour day, but they will, instead of showing it in real time, they will jump past some boring parts. You know, when he goes to the bathroom and eats and stuff like that.
I don't think they showed that in the first.
I know. They're going to condense it down so each episode will be part of a 24-hour day. But,
all right.
That's a great idea. Like, wouldn't you love to see a Fringe miniseries? Have
Absolutely.
Fox bring back Fringe just for another adventure with that gang just for 12 episodes? And then let a couple years go by, and if they get an itch, go and do another one? I think it's
Absolutely.
A good idea. Why not? And this is kind of interesting, too. We got to talk to our buddy Mark Burnett, of course, creator of Survivor and Jingles. Of course. My favorite reality show.
That never happened.
I want Jingles. Yeah. He's got a new reality show he's working on. Pretty clever. Space Race. Space Race.
And that's a bunch of scientists trying to get up into space?
No, working with Richard Branson.
Oh.
It's a competition reality show, but the prize is you get to go on the second flight of Richard Branson's commercial spaceship. Into space. You get to go into space if you win.
So the first one is going to be all the Leonardo DiCaprios of the world,
right.
The rich
people.
The
first flight's already booked solid with celebrity passengers, but you'll get on the second flight.
That's pretty cool. I'd love that.
For people, and there's a ton of them like Bean, who would love to go into space.
Absolutely.
This would be quite the prize. That'll be your prize. No word yet on what you'll have to do to get there, but the show will start in Oklahoma. And then you get to look out over the city of Chile, I think, at one point in the show as well.
If you have to eat a lot of tacos to win,
we know
we've got a guy.
We know who to audition. And congratulations to Kate Upton. Just landed another Sports Illustrated cover. She appears with Atlanta Braves brothers BJ and Justin Upton. Kate, BJ, and Justin Upton. Sadly,
none of them are related, by the way.
No. I think the Braves guys aren't they? Aren't BJ?
Yeah,
and
she's
Justin
not.
Brothers?
I'm sorry, she's not related. Yeah, she's not related.
I believe
she's
the two brothers are actually related.
Yes, brothers are related.
And sadly, on this cover, she's wearing a baseball uniform.
Yeah,
yeah,
still hot.
But if you put Kate Upton on your cover, you don't put her in clothes, do you?
That's a good point.
I guess this is the first time they've ever put a model on their cover outside of the swimsuit issue.
In clothes, so more importantly.
Breaking all the rules for Kate Upton. Maybe they should just put her on the cover every month, like Oprah does on her magazine.
I'm all for it, but in body-painted uniforms.
Correct.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dakota Johnson, she's 24 years old today, soon to be seen, of course, in 50 Shades of Grey. Rachel Lee Cook, 34 years old, can be seen in Perception over there on TNT. We love that show. We love Perception.
That is. We didn't know about it until 20 minutes ago.
That is a great show.
Alicia Silverstone, 37 years old. M. Ward of She and Him is 40. Liev Schreiber turns 46 years old today. Ray Donovan, by the way, if you're not watching. Oh, man.
It's over.
It's a good show.
It's over. It is over, but
it'll be back.
It's worth going back and picking up.
Next season, and it'll be on Showtime. Christoph Waltz, Oscar winner, 57 years old today. Rap producer, mogul Russell Simmons is 56. I respect him so much. He has done so much in his career and his life. The biggest thing I respect him for, getting rid of that Kimora Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a bad deal right there.
That was a bad decision.
He deserves better.
Yeah.
And Susan Sarandon, 67 years old today. I would still crush Susan
I knew
Sarandon.
One of you would say that today.
I would destroy Susan Sarandon.
That's just not.
I would rock her world. I would break her hips.
I would rock her daughter's world, I'll tell you that.
I would turn her into dust.
Is that good?
For me, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Jimmy Kimmel's real-life cousin, Sal, who joins us every Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about football, also writes about football for Grantland.com, is on the phone. And, Sal, I want to start by saying good morning, first of all.
Yes, let's say good morning. How are you?
And I have a question for you. You've been a football fan for your entire life. When was the last time the Cleveland Browns were in first place in the AFC North in October?
I think they said it was... I think they said 1779 or something like that. Am I even right in there? No. That was exciting, Bean. I know you hate the Thursday games, but it ended up being like two-third stringers playing against each other. But pretty exciting Thursday night game, huh?
No, I mean, it really was. And Cleveland is just the team and the city that we're just used to folding and giving up. And once their quarterback went out, out of the game with that knee sprain, and they're behind by 10, you just have to figure, hey, this is Cleveland. They're just going to throw in the towel. But they just kept fighting on back and ended up winning handily. I mean, they're kind of like the Cinderella team of this NFL season, aren't they?
It's a very strange thing because they followed the old blueprint. You trade your best player after week two and start your third string quarterback, and good things happen.
That's always that always works. Yeah,
everybody knows that. All right. Well, you were 1-1-1 last week with your picks here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you feeling about your choices for this weekend, Sal?
Well, listen, I strive for mediocrity. You guys should try it sometime. It's harder to go 1-1-1 than 3-0 or 0-3. So. Yeah, I'm going to keep this going.
We can see up to mediocrity from where we're standing. That's what you're
right.
saying.
Well, you know what? Speaking of mediocrity, I like the Dolphins over the Ravens this week. I feel like I take the same teams every week, but I don't think we should judge the Dolphins on the Monday night game versus the Saints. You actually shouldn't judge anyone, really. It's rude. But they ran into a buzzsaw against the Saints. I still think they're good. They hold opponents to under 100 rushing yards a game. And that's the Ravens' strength, the run game. The Dolphins have won 3 straight at home. Baltimore's dropped 4 straight regular season road games. Joe Flacco threw 5 interceptions against the Bills. I don't know, you guys, like the defending champs, they have no killer instinct, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what went so terribly wrong between winning it all last year and this season where they're so woefully inconsistent?
I think when your one killer, Ray Lewis, retires, then you lack the killer instinct.
There you go.
But I like the Dolphins to clamp down on the disheveled Ravens. Low scoring, give the 3 points, 20-10, Miami.
That is a very controversial pick that will make you look like a hero if you're right and an idiot if you're wrong.
That's right.
Now we move on to Jacksonville. They do still have an NFL team that plays in the league, right?
Yes, I think they're going to secede from the union by week 6. It's insane. I don't even know why I'm taking them. But I look at the spread and I say there's no way the Rams should be favored over anyone by double digits. They've outscored 66-18 in their last 2 weeks, and they're favored by 12.
They can't run. Jacksonville, surprisingly, 11th in the league against the pass. I don't see a ton of difference between these two teams. I'm closing my eyes, taking the Jags plus the 12 points. I say it's close, 23-21.
Plus 12 is a crazy line for pretty much any game.
You think that's crazy? Wait till next week. Denver, Jacksonville. Denver is home against Jacksonville, and I don't want to. They're saying it's going to be upwards of four touchdowns. It's the highest ever.
Wow.
Hey, I got nervous that game a couple weeks ago when Seattle had Jacksonville and the line was 20. I don't think any team feels good about being on either side of a line that's 20 points.
No. You have to think, like, at what point does the underdog get pissed? They see all the bulletin board material and say, hey, we're professionals. We can't go out there and flop it up every week. But.
Right. And the San Francisco 49ers, who are another team that has not been as dominant as some might expect, they're going up against the Houston Texans, who I've been very impressed with this season. That sounds like it could be a good game, Sal.
I think it's going to be a fun one. It's a Sunday night game, and I know they blew it against Seattle last week, and I took the Seahawks, but the Texans, that team played about as physical a game as you could play. At J.J. Watt, he played with a busted nose. It looked like he'd been bashed with a sledgehammer. 49ers gave up 356 yards rushing to the Seahawks and Colts. The Texans are the kind of team that 49ers have trouble with. Physical, punch you in the mouth, break your back, sexually assault your sister in high school bleachers, that type of football. I like Houston here, plus six. I think they went outright 17-13.
That J.J. Watt, man, he's an impressive player, and you're right. He had that busted nose, and did you see on the sideline where he basically was, I mean, he basically almost tried to deck a guy on the medical side for Houston who came and wanted to just address his nose to look at it. He almost hit the guy in the face for trying to get near him.
I know. You guys should do that to your own doctor, Doc on the Rock. Is he still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm afraid
But he's
so.
Going to kill us all one day, Sal. That's not funny.
All right. Stay away then. Okay.
All right. Cousin Sal's got the Dolphins minus three over Baltimore, Jaguars plus 12 over the Rams, and Texans plus six over the 49ers. You can get a lot more great stuff on this weekend's NFL games at Grantland.com. And you can follow Sal on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Don't forget to watch him as one of the writers, the Emmy Award losing writers for Jimmy Kimmel Live. That airs weeknights at 11:35 on ABC. Sal, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for coming on.
You too, fellas.
Thank you. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Time for one more look at the Kevin and Bean Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
A lot of Miley news. A lot of Miley Cyrus news.
Every day.
Every day. Now it's Miley putting all her naughty bits out there for everyone to take a look at. A photo shoot. She sat down with Terry Richardson, or as he's known as the Ansel Adams of Slut. Or as he's known as, only guy creepier than Bean.
How dare you? He's making art.
Miley Cyrus in New York City is the name of the photo shoot. 14 pictures of Miley showing off her breasts and her butt and her other lady parts. Smoking a blunt while he's taking the photograph. She's outrageous, man.
She's crazy.
So outrageous.
Man, she's out there.
Boy.
Woo!
She is,
plays by her own rules.
She is not Hannah Montana anymore.
No.
No. Oh, no.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
She is. She is not a Disney star, man. Now she's a sexual icon. Musical thing.
Genius.
You see the one where she's got her tongue out and she's holding what looks like a soft drink can over her crotch and pretending she has a penis. Did you see that one, Ralph?
I did see that, Bean.
What's the message there?
It's
what are we supposed to do with that?
It's a can of Arizona. Arizona, you know, the iced tea company?
That's what it is.
Those big, thick cans. And she's like, pointing at it as if she's holding a wang bone.
She just is so not sexy to me.
She's embarrassing. She's sad, is what she is. In a post-Madonna, post-Gaga world where people have done it all and everything, you want to prove yourself? Just go make good music or try to do that.
Just start that way.
Start that way. Do that. You know who agrees with me? Sinead O'Connor. Her new video, Wrecking Ball, was compared to Nothing Compares to You, oddly enough. And even Miley herself said in an interview with Rolling Stone that the Sinead O'Connor video influenced her video. So a lot of people were asking for a response from Sinead O'Connor, and so she decided to do an open letter rather than a sit-down interview with anyone. She wrote an open letter to Miley Cyrus saying that, well, let me read you a little quote, basically. This is all said in the spirit of motherliness and with love. She said, I am extremely concerned that those around you have led you to believe or encouraged you in your own belief that is anyway cool to be naked and licking sledgehammers in your videos. It is, in fact, the case that you'll obscure your talent by allowing yourself to be pimped, whether it's the music business or yourself doing the pimping. And she goes on to talk about how the music business doesn't really give an S about anyone, especially women, and they will exploit you and use your body and everything until, you know, there's no interest anymore, and they'll toss you aside, and they'll have made all the money,
right,
and you'll be left outside looking in.
I think she's making some dough, don't you?
Miley?
Yeah.
Not as much as whoever is around her is making. Yeah. There are no rich hookers. And I think she's just saying, in terms of her personal life, and as an artist or whatever, if you want to think you are one, think about what you're doing. That may not necessarily be the route, I think, is what she was trying to get across to her. Well, Miley Cyrus didn't take to it too kindly. She simply tweeted, "Before Amanda, there was this." And listed a bunch of Sinead O'Connor's tweets when she was actually battling mental illness a few years ago.
For real.
For real. And she said, "Before Amanda Bynes, there was this." And also showed a picture of her tearing up the Pope picture on Saturday Night Live, famously, when she did that. So she took something that was really, in my opinion, intended as sort of a kindness to say, you know, just some things to think about, and pretty much made fun of the fact that this woman was mentally ill at some point. And poor Amanda Bynes.
She's still getting it.
She's still getting it for no reason. Well, that led Sinead O'Connor to write another open letter.
All right.
Let me read you a little piece of that.
It's on.
Miley, really? Who the F is advising you? Taking me on is even more effing stupid than behaving like a prostitute and calling it feminism. You have posted today tweets of mine which are 2 years old, which were posted by me when I was unwell and seeking help, so as to make them look like they are recent. In doing so, you mock myself and Amanda Bynes, who have suffered mental health issues and have sought help. And she goes on pretty much to dress her down for that. So then Miley tweets, "Sorry, I can't write an open letter to you, but I'm busy getting ready to host Saturday Night Live." Child. So the reason I bring this up is now, because now's a third open letter to Miley that just got posted this morning.
Yes.
"You had plenty of time yesterday to abuse Amanda Bynes, an entirely innocent party, and myself, who did nothing to deserve your abuse, along with every other sufferer of mental health problems and every person who suffered abuse at the hands of priests regarding that her stand against the Catholic Church. You can take 5 minutes today between G-string effing changes to publicly apologize and remove your abusive tweets. If you do not, then you don't give an S about who you mock or what damage you do by being so ignorant," she says in the beginning, which goes on and on and on. So
I never would have imagined a world where there's a Sinead O'Connor Miley Cyrus feud.
Me neither. Or one where Sinead O'Connor would be so eloquent and even keeled and sort of reasonable in her writing either. So.
This is weirder than Jimmy versus Kanye.
Yeah, it is. But we live in strange times, boys and girls. Sarah Michelle Gellar. She is one of those rare, fearless women that gave birth without an epidural.
Yeah.
Isn't that how the first 99% of women in the history of the earth gave birth?
Yes.
Right, but then they learned how to the epidural.
They learned how to do it with less pain.
Know, they used to do surgery with no anesthesia, too, Bean. And no clean knives. But, you know,
sure.
You progress and you
ideally
science catches up and you're able to do some things. Now you don't have to go through the pain. But she did. She arrived at the hospital too late, apparently, to get the epidural. Had to go right into labor. She said she yelled so loud she fractured her jaw while screaming.
How? I can't imagine you could do that.
Imagine how in pain and how loud and how wide you have to be stretching your mouth in agony to fracture your jaw.
Wow.
What?
Sounded like that. That's what she's doing.
Everybody in the hospital must have just cringed and said, "Oh no, what's happening?"
Yeah. But the baby's great and she's great and everybody's happy. So.
I love Sarah Michelle Gellar and I think she's a very talented actress. I like that that last series that she had where she was playing the twins. But this new
Ringer.
One, man, I liked Ringer a lot. I can't even get up the interest to tune into this Robin Williams one.
Oh.
It looks so terrible.
Oh, I'm an advertising girl. Look. Oh, I can't believe I have this. Oh, now look. I have a coffee cup. Oh, yeah. Oh, the coffee's hot. You want to see half an hour every week?
In the promos, isn't it just exhausting when you see him for 30 seconds?
Oh, I'll put away your sandwich. Oh, yeah, look. Oh, I'm crazy. Oh, I'm your dad. Oh, I'm not the best. Oh.
Excellent.
Am I alone on this, or are you guys with me?
No, we're with you.
Okay, because I love Sarah. I want to tune in and see the show, but I can't get past Robin to do it.
I would check it out. I'll check it out.
Okay, please do.
At some point, I'll roll around and I'll pick an episode up and I'll take a look.
Speaking of new shows, we have a winner so far for worst ratings of the TV season for a new show. So far, the winner is NBC's Ironside.
Yay!
Blair Underwood. He's a cop who can't walk, so he
gets in
a...
I don't even know what that is.
In a wheelchair, and he wheels around. He rolls over crime in his wheelchair of justice. He's in the chair of wheels of justice chair.
My impression from watching TV is they really publicized that a lot.
Yeah, they tried to get it.
Had a lot of commercials.
It is based on an old 70s cop show called Ironside, starring the late, great Raymond Burr. And we watched a lot of things in the 70s.
Yeah.
Because we had to, because there were three networks, and we didn't have any choices.
Yeah, you were either going to watch that, or you're going to watch a game show or something right. That was on the other channel.
We have choices now. That's what they need to understand. When they try to reboot these shows that were popular in the 70s, we don't live in a world anymore where we have to watch a fat guy in a wheelchair fight crime. We don't have to do that anymore. Now we have cops who have legs. It's the future. We can have an epidural before birth, and you can watch a cop walk. So... It's a brave new world, NBC. Rethink your position.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dakota Johnson's 24 years old today. Rachel Lee Cook celebrates her 34th birthday. Alicia Silverstone, 37 years old today. M. Ward. He is half of She and Him.
Which half?
He's the him.
Oh, he's him.
The she is Zoe Deschanel, 40 years old today. Liev Schreiber is 46. Christoph Waltz, 57 years old today. Rap mogul Russell Simmons is 56, and Susan Sarandon. Yeah.
No.
Sarandon.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
I Sarandon her right nope. there.
Could not have been sexier than in that baseball movie, though, right?
Nope. Bull Durham?
Yeah.
She could have been sexy in Rocky Horror Picture Show. She's running around in her bra and her panties.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Nope.
Come on, Kevin.
Even when she's young? Not even when she's young? Is she hot enough for you, Kevin?
I'm still a nope on that.
Really?
Yeah, nope.com.
Stupid and absurd.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Unacceptable.
Roll another one.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Just hang the other one.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh my God, this is real. I just assumed you're lying.
On behalf of the Mother Standards Department, I, Gaylord Felcher, present you with the Employee of the Week Award. Well, let's give it up for this bag of
roll another one.
I will have sex with your
just like the other one.
Whoa,
this one seems to be about sin.
That sounds pretty outrageous.
I don't have another sense.
Hey,
knock knock,
who's there?
Go Dodger!
Don't bogart that joint.
Oh, God, when is this gonna end?
Just pass it around.
This was a big old steaming pile of shit.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Too much information.
Just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
I think our genius ain't appreciated here. Let's scram.
Next week, I'm going to come up with a lot of stuff. Balloon animals and more magic trick. Yeah.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do.
All right, that's it. I think that went great.
I'm struck by your devotion and sick to my stomach, too. Get out.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's how we do.